Well, let me welcome everybody to the seventh. It's seven.
Have we made it to seven?
It's my lucky number, seven.
Really?
Yeah, it's my favourite number. I grew up in a house that was number seven, and for some reason it's always been my lucky number.
I live in number seven now.
Do you?
Yeah, it's not my lucky number, though. A combination of two and seven is my lucky number.
Is it? Well,
yeah,
nine.
Making nine, yeah. Exactly.
Maths was always a strong point of mine.
You have noticed that. Very, very impressive.
But I've still failed to welcome everybody to our...
to the VIP podcast. Welcome. My name's Phil Freeman.
Oh, yes. I'm not Ian Farnsworth.
Who are you?
I'm Jonathan Kidd.
And I'm Ian Farnsworth.
No, I'm Ian Farnsworth.
I'm Ian Farnsworth. I'm Ian Farnsworth.
We've done that one before. We're only on number seven and we've started
the
repeating
same
ourselves.
Same jokes, yeah. I think that was funnier, though.
I say we've started repeating ourselves.
We have.
I say we've started repeating ourselves.
Oh, dear me.
What about this business on Saturday that Meller touched upon in the Evening Standard, that one of our representatives, and I can't remember his name, is it Simpson? I can't remember. Chap's going to debate with Platini and the rest of FIFA about the 5 and 6 rule.
Oh, really?
About.
No, I don't remember talking about
and
it.
And also the trying to put the indebted aspect of a club. If a club's indebted, can't take place in Europe. And Meller was making the point, as in his usual emphatic way, that it's just a jealous attempt by the French to stop us from having the best league in the world. And all the French players come over to England.
Maybe. An interesting point that came out of that, though, and I'm not sure if it was out of that actual conversation, but I've read since... and Platini's opinion, although I think he was mooted by somebody else as well as Platini, I don't know who, but that big teams, and Manchester United were mentioned specifically, big teams such as Manchester United, they go into big debt. They take on big loans as such in order to buy big players and therefore buying the big trophies. And this should be basically seen as cheating.
But that's been the case all through the history of football.
Yeah.
Is the teams with the most money, whoever got the best benefactors, end up with the best trophies.
It was interesting as well that they only seemed to pick on Manchester United and a couple of other clubs. Didn't sort of mention Real Madrid.
But he could originally have picked Liverpool, because Liverpool every season in the 80s, every season, Shankly bought... and the 70s and the 60s, sorry, but whoever it was, Shankly Pace, they bought the best players. At the end of every season, they bought the best players because they had the most money, because they'd been in Europe winning the trophies.
It's a cycle, isn't it?
A unicycle. No,
but anyway, I didn't watch any of the European matches last night. I said the beginning of the Liverpool match, as Ian well knows, I was actually with him in the public house around
when,
the corner
when Liverpool scored.
When Liverpool scored, we were in the public house around the corner in Soho, and but I then went off with a friend of mine for something to eat.
So a lacklustre display, Ian, apparently.
I've heard headlines. I've heard Frankie Lampard got sent off. That was a bit of a strange one.
Well, the referee was one of those strange European referees who any physical contact is instantly a yellow card.
Yeah, not allowed.
Bordeaux, how can I put it? Were putting it about.
Yeah.
They were very keen to.
Were they whining a bit? Bordeaux.
Yeah, they kept very good. Very good. Hey. Did you get that? Any listeners that got that? It's because Bordeaux is a wine centre, you see.
It's a wine joke, you see. Yeah. And you can't catch me out on wine because I know my Bordeaux from my Claret.
Yeah. Very good. That's another gag. It's got two gags in there.
They're both atrocious.
Yeah, they're both, what?
I am myself.
You're supposed
like
to say,
wine.
Surely you should say they're most atrocious, like a very bad Cabernet, 1975 Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah. With a good Chianti. That is.
I don't know my wines because I haven't got the kind of money that means that you can.
No, you can get a very cheap Cabernet Sauvignon in a tin from Tesco.
Did you really?
Yeah, they do. They do. I should know. Says the man drinking tea at this moment. Hang on,
I do like a glass of wine, but I don't know how we've got onto this. Bordeaux.
No, they did that. Well, I'm a bit worried that Chelsea are being sussed.
I'm a bit
actually.
Worried that Ian's going to manage to get a word in edgeway at some stage. I don't think we should let him.
That Chelsea? No, Ian who? Yeah. Chelsea are being sussed, which is that you stop the fullbacks from playing, and you boot the midfield, and Ian's put a picture of Liverpool up on the computer screen. With a picture of the trophy with 5 written above it.
We won it 5 times! We won it 5 times!
You know what, as well, what I think was wonderfully childish about Ian there was he's tried to say a few things down there, and not intentionally, but I've noticed Jonathan and myself have basically opened our mouths and edged him out, and he's getting frustrated.
Sorry, so Ian.
Rather than speak up, he thought, I know what I'll do. I'll stick this picture of his Liverpool picture five times, yeah, just so he can get noticed.
But as yes, I was saying, I yes, think Chelsea have been sussed because the opposition, as I say, they seem to have stopped their fullbacks from going up, and they were pressing unbelievably far up the pitch. So they had three players, he had three up in attack, who were just on the fullbacks all the time, and they didn't know what to do, and Scolari didn't know what to do with it. And then he's got the problem of Malouda once again. Every week I say Malouda's shit, but Malouda being awful, and Joe Cole being off the pace, and Anelka really not getting it. When Anelka got into the game, he scored a fantastic goal, as usual.
I did see that.
Oh,
I
wonderful goal.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And then, a schoolboy error at the corner for the second for the Bordeaux goal, and just no spark, nothing working. And Drogba came on and again just stood about. And one example was Frank Lampard's shot. Now you'd think, being a teammate of Frank Lampard's, when Frank surges to the edge of the penalty area with nobody about and he has a shot, you'd think, oh, I might vaguely
follow up.
Stood just watching as the goalkeeper spilt it.
Nothing more infuriating than that.
I hate that.
You like
so much
seeing players make almost thankless runs.
Yes.
Just in case. The gamble. When they say, oh, he gambled, didn't come off that time, but one time it will.
But we do like, don't we? We do like triers.
Of course.
We always like a trier.
Of course.
And some of our best, our favourite players may not have been the most skillful players, but they've been those who really try. Now, Mickey Thomas was a great Chelsea player for me and for United and for Everton because he and for Wrexham.
Honest.
He never ever stopped trying, running. I remember some appalling moment when we were playing Oldham in some second division tie a few years ago, and many years ago, and he managed to he ran from player to player as the ball was being passed and just kept running, and he ran forward and then fell over and the ball was played towards him, and whilst lying on the ground he headed it out for a throw and the whole crowd went absolutely mad.
Loved
because
him.
Of the effort.
Honest, hard working. Do you know do you remember him, Ian? Mickey Thomas?
He eventually became, he had long hair, became bald, and he was done for shoplifting. Wasn't
I have
allegedly.
The reason I ask Ian is, one, I'd love to get you into this conversation.
Ask the bloody question, and kind of go, do you know him? Yeah. Do you know him? No, you don't. And then
The reason I'm asking the question is, just shut up and let me talk. It's because he's one of your lot. He's Welsh. And I'm not sure if the listeners realise that Ian is Welsh. We haven't really talked about this.
I'm not Welsh. It was a comment made by a voiceover writer called Adam Longworth. He thinks I sound Welsh, and he said, I'm a Welsh bastard. I'm not Welsh. That's the end of it.
Have you got anything against Welsh people? I'm getting from that reaction.
Yeah.
What's wrong with being Welsh?
It's almost like embarrassing. I'm not Welsh. Good God, no, I'm not.
I'm not Welsh. I'm not Welsh. What makes you think I'm Welsh?
It's just. Well,
you became
fact.
A bit like that then. Do you know this?
Welsh farmer, wasn't it?
Sorry, a bit of a Welsh, I mean, Welsh West Country man.
It's the same thing that I'm not Argentinian. And if somebody kept on saying to
what
me,
"What do you got against them?"
Ian, you're Argentinian. Then I'd be like, "No, I'm not Argentinian." No.
Hand of silver. Argentina.
I've seen you play football. You're not Argentinian.
Oh, very, very good.
No, but I think he's of English stock, isn't he? He's hardworking.
Ian.
Is he?
No, he is. But I thought, I'm gobsmacked. I actually thought you were Welsh when I was saying, throwing it out there. You've shocked me now.
You have the occasional Welsh tone. Have you noticed that?
Sit by there.
Something I noticed at the Chelsea-Newcastle game last week, where Newcastle not only parked the bus, they erected series of teepees on the top of it.
Phil laughs.
Teepees and marquees. You're too tense.
Yes. Very good. Yeah. And but Chelsea were once again inept at scoring with Malouda to the fore. Ineptitude.
And was having got a clue there as
well. He was indeed, falling over an enormous amount and being offside an enormous amount. But I noticed that Ivanovic, who appears to have taken Alex's place, and I think I have to say that if Chelsea had Carvalho and Essien, they'd be slightly better state, but Ivanovic has perversely got the same arse as Kenny Swain. Kenny Swain played for Chelsea in 1978 and then went on to play fullback. He played midfield fullback for Aston Villa.
That's
Villa,
right.
When they won the European Cup.
I knew his son, funny enough.
Did Sorry. You?
I didn't know him very well.
He's got the same arse.
He got the same arse, yes.
Somebody's.
Oh, for goodness sake. I do apologise.
That klaxon is to signify that Jonathan's
girlfriend
has found him.
So sorry, I should turn it off. Hello, darling, I'm in the middle of my podcast. Sorry about this. My girlfriend has a klaxon.
But does she know that?
No. She's also down as another name on there as well, not down as a real name.
Really? Why?
Yeah, well, because it's a long story, I won't tell you.
No, don't.
No, don't. I don't. And I do that with lots of people, actually.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, I do. I have a strange...
Really?
A strange...
Have you got Ian in your phone?
Yeah, but he's called Bill Bowes.
I'm not called Bill Bowes.
Yeah,
I'm
you
sure.
are. Yeah, you are. You're yeah? in there.
Is that true?
Yeah, the 1934 bodyline cricketer you're down as. Because you remind me of him.
Really?
Yeah, you look
not,
a bit...
Not Bilbo
bit like
Baggins,
him.
Then.
Yeah, not Bilbo Baggins. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, of course you're not down as Bill Bowes, the 1934 cricketer. Ridiculous. Of course my girlfriend isn't down as another name. Anyway, yeah, no, for me, Kenny Swain has a very low slung backside.
Yeah.
And I don't know if...
Now you mention it. Now you mention it.
He,
yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
He had a kind of sort of swagger with it. And Ivanovic has got exactly the same arse. It's interesting how some people have got certain ways of running or moving, like Ballack moves around as if he's slightly trotting like a kind of show pony.
Yeah.
And some people are more sort of slide. Rooney looks like a kind of bull. Rooney looks like Bo Brummel a bit, doesn't he?
Does
the way
a bit.
He runs.
He does, yeah. He does. Yeah, I remember somebody saying to me once, and I'm not sure.
Or was it just
I'm not
the,
sure why I find
head.
This funny.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why I find this funny, but somebody once said to me, if Wayne Rooney wasn't a footballer, he'd be in care. And I don't know why. And that sounds absolutely dreadful, so we'll move on very swiftly.
Should we get on to Battle of the Chants?
Oh, yeah, let's have a few
I think we ought to.
Yeah, let's do that.
I will posit a jingle here at this point.
Oh, can you? We didn't have the jingle when we started.
No, I haven't got them. I'll make one.
You haven't got them?
I haven't got them up.
Oh, no.
I rushed this through.
You're going to put the jingles in when you re-edit this?
Put them
I'll
in
do it later.
Edit, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll do it later. That's the wonders of modern technology, isn't it? Well, I heard a vicious rumour that that Jonathan here has 14, was it? Which puts my one to shame. So basically, I think we should start with. Well, let's get the scene going here, because let's talk about chants generally.
Hang on, let's just do that.
No, listeners who may not have bothered to listen last week, and there's several of them who just dip in and out where they want.
I don't class them as friends.
This is about a challenge that Ian set us to basically write a chant for subjects that don't normally happen. And in this case, it was going to be about scoring or winning against the run of play. And that was what was given to us. And it got me thinking about chants generally. So if you may just bear with me just 1 second, because a lot of chants I've noticed now, as opposed to the olden days, the good old golden days, are also the same kind of tune.
There is very little imagination. And it always slightly disturbs me when somebody's got one kind of, here we go chant, the D'Souza
chant.
And it suddenly becomes somebody else's. You go, no, come on, think of something else.
And there's that, or there's the Go West kind of.
Indeed.
And they have the same tune, lots of different words. There are some clubs, like Sheffield United have, is it Delilah? They have certain songs.
Yeah.
Sheffield United have one as well, don't they? Is that the, where did you go to my lovely...
Peter Sarsgaard. But I like the Everton one in particular.
Yeah,
it's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old...
So they're actual songs, or they're based on the song tune. So I thought when I got onto my channel, which we won't go straight onto just yet, but I was thinking about... I don't think enough teams fans take songs per se and turn them into chants anymore. They just, it might be the like da 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 or whatever, but they just put different words to it. They've got new players, so they'll add the new player's name into it and things like that. So,
well, I was very distressed that Joe Cole is he's here, Joe Cole, which was Frank LaBeouf's.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go, no, hang on, it's Frank LaBeouf's song. Frank LaBeouf, you're the first person you've had. It can't be Joe Cole's as well.
No.
Think of something else, but they don't.
Yeah, did Sammy Lee had that as well, didn't they? When he's at Liverpool, he's fat. He's round. He bounces around the ground. Sammy Lee.
And they had the same thing about Peter Crouch.
Yeah.
He's big. He's red. His feet stick out the bed. Peter Crouch.
That's a little bit imaginative, but also completely relevant to football, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
He's big. He's red. His feet stick out the bed.
I like that, though.
Yeah, yeah. The surreal nature of it is actually quite nice. So, sorry.
It's because he's quite tall.
I don't know the explanation to
Peter Crouch.
Is he?
Is
tall?
Is that him? He's playing tonight and they're playing Milan.
I know.
How about that?
Milan.
Yeah.
I mean...
That should be interesting. Culture shock.
He has a very, very attractive partner, doesn't he?
Let's not get on to Peter Crouch. What do you think they're compatible?
Well, which part of the multimillionaire footballer do you think she's mostly into?
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. His rubbery neck.
Yeah.
We're really rubbish. Doesn't really matter because we're 1-0 up.
Very good. Very good.
Short but sweet.
Yeah, very good.
Okay, Phil?
Chuck us another one, Jonathan, while we're on a roll.
Oh, okay.
You're shit and we're 1-0 up.
You're shit and
sorry,
we're
no, sorry, 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 we're sorry, shit. Sorry, sorry. I do apologise. That should be yes. We're shit. That's I'm right. So got to react. We're shit and we're 1-0 up. Of course, that destroys it by saying you're shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Another one. To the tune of, you know, don't know what you're doing. We've only had one shot.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah. But it's gone in the net.
Yes, yes.
And we're 1-0 up. And it is a goal.
Yeah, well, why not? You know, yeah. No, that's the thing about this, exactly. These chances that what we're doing,
yeah.
I have to say,
yeah.
will never ever be done on the terraces ever because it's almost too... It's too complicated.
Yes.
It needs to be much simpler and ludicrous.
Exactly. I'm worried that my chant is a little complicated, and I've only practiced it once in my head since I wrote it. So go any more there, Jonathan?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Which this is to the tune. You're gonna get your, you know, kicked in.
what is that tune originally? Do you think?
Yeah, I don't know.
Which musical has that come from?
Oh no, I know what it was. It's which I think was a kind of
Superstars.
It was something. It was like, or Banana Splits or something. In some, no, that was.
I bet that's used by some football team.
And that was used. That was used. I remember it being used. But anyway, this I've just once again used this. I'm giving you the very simple ones to start off with, and we're getting more complicated.
Okay.
We're 1-0 up, and you're all over us. which I think answers what you require.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, you're all over us.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah. That's also you're going home in the back of an ambulance.
It is
depressing. This is just making your point that it gets used for exactly the same things, isn't
yes.
it? Really.
So, yes, it is. Ian, do you have something?
Well, no. I want to hear which one Jonathan has selected as his one. He wants to put forward to be voted for.
I didn't know that's what we were doing.
Yeah, well, people are going to vote.
You just wanted us to find which ones.
No, people are going to vote. This
is
a battle.
I haven't finished yet.
Well, so, do carry on.
You may be all over us, but we've just scored a goal. Ha 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 ha.
I do like the laugh bit there. Thank I think you. You've got to give that to fans because I actually ran out of things. You'll see when I get onto mine around things. So I put loads of la la la's at the end of the thing because I like the idea of, you know, when fans are singing a song and they get to the end of it and then that's they right. all go into la 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 yeah. la la la, yeah, la and yeah. then everyone just joins in. Yeah. You don't need the words at that point and it turns into a dance and a conga or whatever. And that's all quite nice. Sorry, carry on, Jonathan.
No, please. No, you're absolutely right. I love all of that carrying on. Yeah. What's that? That really strange bouncy one that appeared recently. We're all going, which United started. We're all going to go, and then I found Liverpool doing it as well. Except they're doing a different version. We're going to bounce in a minute. Bounce in a minute, bounce in a minute, as in score in a minute.
Oh, right.
And then they just go, bouncy, 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 and they all bounce up and down. Yeah. And you think, God, you really are all demented.
Children.
West Brom have been doing that for years in a slightly different way because they have their chant is boing, boing, isn't it?
Oh, they do boing,
boing, boing baggies. And they all just jump up and down going boing, boing, baggies, baggies, boing, boing. And it's just quite comical, actually.
It's surreal.
I don't really know where it's come from. Those two mascots, the Throstles.
The Throstles,
are fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic outfits.
Yeah.
I really love them. You know, because some of them you go, was it the Derby Ram bloke had a kind of athletic facility, but then one of the reasons he had this athleticism was because all he had was the head.
Yeah.
The rest of him, he's wearing the football outfit.
Yeah,
he can do what he wants. He's in football kit, but he's got a head on. Throstle.
Yeah.
Full thing. Yeah. It's like the Sheffield Wednesday, the Owls,
yeah,
two Owls.
Yeah, yeah.
Huge costume. Very, very commendable. Yeah. It must have been so boiling within those.
Oh, yeah.
I speak from somebody who's been Fat Puffin and the Chelsea Lion, remember?
Yes, of course.
Because I was Stamford the Lion for the first four games. Until I was sacked because I charged a tenner a time and they got some old creaking bloke who did it for nothing.
Jonathan Kidd.
Fat Puffin. But I really enjoyed being Fat Puffin, actually. I got all the kids to sing a song, the Donut song, which was donuts.
Some more, Jonathan.
Give us more.
Look at the goal. The net is bulging. Though you've been...
This is like poetry.
It is, yeah. Look at the goal, the net is bulging, though you've been shamelessly indulging your super silky skills, but we're winning 1-0. We're winning 1-0. That's got no chance at all to it, and it's not very good. We're no good, but we've scored. Now your spirits are flawed. You've gone quiet, all you hordes, like a matador that's been gored. On us, scorn you have poured, and your team's unjust reward, while your fans all hee-hawed, was for us to have scored.
Who's going to do this? Kenneth Branagh?
It's getting ridiculous.
That's the one I'd like to put up for voting.
Ian's pulling his hair out.
Can I put that one for voting, please?
Yeah, that will take some beating. Come on then, Ian. Let's have your chance.
Okay, this is one that won't be sung anywhere because it's the tune of Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
That's easy for you to say.
I couldn't say that right. That wasn't right, was it?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious, if you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
You're not going to start it. You're not going to start it, are you, with give us an S? Because it's going to take a while.
No.
Right.
Here we go. Our football isn't very good. In fact, it's quite atrocious. We scored against the run of play, despite our lack of focus. Your keeper couldn't stop it because his style is quite capricious. To keep our lead, I'll guarantee our tackling will be vicious.
Well, I think
capricious.
I think
they're all going to go along with capricious, aren't they?
I think that's good, actually.
She's a supermodel.
That's the best. I would vote for that one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then at the end, ooh-ah-ya. I think that'd be nice.
Yeah. You can imagine around Christmas time when the spirits are up at Christmas time, you get all that kind of like jingle bells, Villa ran away, all that kind of stuff. Right. And people go a little bit. That is very good, actually. Very good. Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Now, I say I'm going to struggle with this because it's to the tune The Carpenters or Peter Noon, whoever it was to do first.
We've just begun.
Not that one. Oh, no, okay. No. There's a kind of hush. There's a kind of hush.
Yeah.
All over the ground today. All over the ground. There's a kind of hush because we scored a goal. You know what I mean? There's a kind of rush from scoring a goal today. As you quite rightly say, we can't even play. In fact, we are shite. So listen very carefully. Closer now, and you will see we are shit. The only thing that we can see, a crap team head to victory over you. And that's gotta hurt. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la
la la la la la la la pathetic attempts at rhyming hee-hawed and score. So,
I was very impressed with that.
With shite and something else.
Yeah, indeed. So I think you've done fantastic.
We'll have to let the...
I must admit, when I sang it to myself in my head earlier,
I think the listener will approve of that.
We need a winner, and the only way we get a winner is by people by emailing in and saying, I vote for either Phil. Yeah. Phil's... lovely latter one there.
Yeah. Kind of hush based.
That's it.
Yours supercalifragilistic based.
That's
and
it.
Mine based on nothing at all.
That's it.
Yeah.
So
yours was cultural.
So that is.
Thank you. Well, mine was deliberately just using one rhyme.
Mm.
And that's at thesoho3@gmx.com. Yeah.
Good.
And whilst emailing, I would like to hear some other people's as well, some attempts. It doesn't have to be on scoring against a runner play. Perhaps just generally on chance that you're not likely to hear, chants that are a little unusual, a little surreal. Let's see if we can't widen the chant raft of football chantingness.
The sack of chants. Let's fill it up.
Is that the collective noun for chants? Do you think a sack of chants?
Mm.
Yeah, I like it actually. Yeah. A bag of chants.
A jolly bag of chants.
Perhaps a sack.
A shower.
So that's at thesoho3@gmx.com.
Perhaps even a dump of chance. What I'd like to work at is the whole Tevez-West Ham affair.
Yeah, I don't really understand it, but enlighten
me. There appears to be a wealth of support for West Ham over the what is considered a ridiculous ruling that players can influence games. And even in The Guardian this morning, one of the journalists, whose name I forget, was saying how he felt that it was ridiculous for... Because what's happened is that West Ham have attempted to have the ruling overturned.
Yeah.
And they failed in recently in the High Court.
The appeal to appeal.
One of the reasons being that the appeal court assessed that indeed Tevez, with his three goals in the last, what it was, couple of games, and his performances did influence the team.
And yet,
there appear to be several journalists that I've read in various papers saying it's ridiculous to believe that one player has that power to change a team's performance. And yet, my view, having watched football for years, is that a very good player can indeed...
Of course,
influence a game to a degree that, you know, if he's not playing, they're not inspired, and so the person who takes his place is nowhere near as good. And if this player can individually can take players on, can get the ball at the halfway line, run to the other end, and then lash the ball into the net, surely that is influencing the game.
Well, I'm with you, and I don't actually believe West Ham would have stayed up that season.
Without him.
No,
he was inspired.
Yes, he was.
And they made him Hammer of the Year, rightly so, because he was so superb.
Yeah.
But he still, to my bemusement reading this morning, still belongs to the chap.
Can't remember his name.
Iranian,
I think. Yeah,
they still. And if apparently, at the end of the season, the sum of 34 million was just been put up for him, and Real Madrid are apparently interested in taking him away from United.
Yeah.
So he's still a lone player.
Yes.
Still own, and the rest of the only place where these kind of deals are banned now is England.
Yeah.
The rest of Europe, you can buy a player's registration as if it's a normal kind of a purchase. It's like having a car. You can buy the player's registration, and then you can haggle with other people for it.
Yeah.
So. But no, I'm very well. What's happening now is that West Ham have said we're going to do sort of due diligence on exactly what how much money Sheffield United can really have, and we're going to be looking at everything and seeing in the end it won't be that great amount of money because we've had a lot of overheads as well for the Premiership. And you think, well, this is really it's boys having a fighting in a blanket here because
can I throw in my two cents?
Yeah, I'd love you to. I've gone on and
no,
on.
No, that's all right. It's good. I think you're probably right, and that Tevez certainly influenced West Ham and probably actually, had a great deal of influence in helping to stay up that season at Sheffield United going down. But the thing is, I'm slightly with that gaggle of support for West Ham. Not because I'm a big West Ham fan, but mainly because I hate Sheffield United that much.
Yeah. You've said this before. May I say that's more than 2 cents as
but
well.
Can I also say that...
You owe us something.
Is that not a slightly ludicrous thing for a balanced individual to be saying?
It's hard to take.
In the VIP podcast.
He was sounding quite serious in his point, and then he just ruined it, didn't he?
Yeah, by saying that, there is hatred for the team. It's got nothing to do with argument. You're saying, therefore, I'm glad that they went down. Is that what you're saying? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is,
let's not go why you hate it. It's a pointless, stupid conversation.
I don't know. I've never liked them. I've never liked the club.
No, fair enough.
But can we possibly debate it from
a less silly point of view.
A less emotional point of view.
Yeah.
What do you feel about it from that point of view?
Because I think Liverpool have only just owned Mascherano, haven't they? From the same...
17 million they paid for him. They actually paid for him.
But that was only this beginning of this season, wasn't it? Yeah. So he was in the same kind of situation.
That was his big thing, wasn't it? Benitez saying, I've got to have Mascherano. Yeah. I have to have money, funds for him.
Yeah.
And because he asked for more money for the transfer window last year. And one of them, Hick or Gillett, said, well, actually, we've just paid 17 million for Mascherano.
Well, I think Mascherano has been a great asset.
Oh, he's a wonderful
player.
He's been
fantastic.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Absolutely agree.
So I think the ruling, the ruling certainly that that West Ham did benefit from Tevez is right. Whether or not that punishment is right or not, whether it should be less or more or whatever. I'm not quite so sure.
What annoys me is it all comes down to financial compensation, and they've got to put rules or something in place that stops this kind of thing happening.
But it will set a precedent.
In the Guardian this morning, what they were debating was how on earth the two-man team of Scudamore and the other guy, with the precedent that had already been set in the Football League with any anomaly was greeted with 10-point deductions, how the only thing that happened in the Premier League was a fine. And they felt that one of the reasons being that the whole structure in the Football League was more mature than the Premier League. With only two men making the decision, whereas there was a bigger pool of experienced people making decisions in the Football League.
Well, then maybe real justice would be if West Ham were relegated. If they really did stay up as a result of that, then West Ham should be relegated. Well,
I'm intrigued to see what would happen if Sheffield United get in excess of 40 million, which is what they think they should be entitled to, as to whether they buy correctly and as a consequence end up getting promoted next season. And will the result of this huge amount of money that West Ham will then be forced to pay, will that cause them to sell players and meaning that they will be relegated? But will that happen? Or will it mean that a new owner comes in who then funds them and keeps the players on? That may be the advantage West Ham may have.
Yeah.
Because he's also he's dealing with the fact, isn't he, the Icelandic owner that is all the bank as all the banks have just completely
of course
all his money's gone down to nothing. All his money was in the Icelandic bank, I think.
Yeah, I mean, when I say we've got to study these things happening in the first place, it sort of puts me in mind a little bit of kind of chaos theory, and then butterfly flaps his wings and something something happens somewhere else around the world, and it's like, well, if West Ham should they be relegated now? Well, no, of course not, because what happened had other things happening beyond that. It's a little bit like when a team loses 2-0, but at 1-0 down, there was a goal disallowed. So people say, "Oh well, that would have made it 1-1," and and so the actual score should be 2-1 or whatever. But you don't know, because if it had happened, the next thing that would have happened would have been different, and well, would have been a centre for a start off. So the whole game would be different from there. So you can't just suddenly unravel something and go back to it. It's a little bit like the technology in football thing. When do you stop the game? Was that a goal, or do you say, well, that ball actually went over the line after the game, so actually will change the score of the game? Well, you can't, because you don't know what would have happened in a game. You don't know what would have happened in a season
as a consequence of
So with some games last week that probably, if it wasn't for referees' decisions, they maybe should have been drawn and not wins to one team or another. That might affect at the end of the season, but you can't change anything, because that would have affected the league positions for those teams, and then it goes on to the next game, the next game, the next game. You can't then unravel backwards and say, oh well, this would have been different. Where do you stop? Where do you end? Where do you unpick it? Where do you unravel to? The only way you can do it is try and put rules in place that actually stop these things from happening in the first place. And part of the problem here was the whole ownership thing of Tevez, and whether or not he was legally registered, whether he should have played in that team, then what happened after that, where he got transferred to. It's all just too complicated.
I think, as far as I can glean, the whole thing has been based on a lie, which is, they said, his registration has been sorted.
Yeah, and it
when
happened.
It, when it happened.
Who was they?
At West Ham.
There you go.
I've got a bit of a beef, actually, at the moment about...
Sorry.
The Arsenal... We're not even going to clarify that, are we, Ian?
I don't even know what that is.
Nor me, but it's the way his laugh was so rude and innuendo thing.
There was a slight feeling of underwear about it.
Yeah, it's because I said beef. Yeah. I mean, the sad, sad person.
Is that beef cake?
Everybody says that last season, Arsenal's season basically hinged on the game against Birmingham. The game where Eduardo didn't run off that injury,
and where Gallus went and sat in the centre circle.
Exactly. And from that moment on, Gallus shouldn't have been the captain, which, as we know, that's another subject maybe for discussion. And the game certainly turned on that. And it's been reported, seen reported in several newspapers and even on TV commentary, that the game hinged on the 1-1 draw with Birmingham last season. That was a 2-2 draw. Birmingham went 1-0 up with a wonderful goal from McFadden. And then we had the sending off, which I still say was harsh. It was based on the severity of the injury as opposed to the incident.
Tackle.
But I'm not going to go there again. But actually, and because we went down to 10 men, we still did really well, holding on to a 1-0 lead. But then Arsenal inevitably came back in. I mean, we struggled to get the 11 men, yet alone down to 10. So then they scored 2 goals, and it looked like it was going to be hard for us. And we were losing 2-1, and in the last minute, we got that last-minute penalty, which is what turned Gallus against his teammates, sitting in the kicking the hoardings and being petulant. And McFadden scored the penalty, tucked it away well. And it was a two-all draw. But I've heard on so many occasions people talk about the one-all draw with Birmingham.
Yeah, probably.
Because they thought we just got back into it at the last minute. They thought Arsenal were winning 1-0, yeah, and we got back into it.
Yeah. You scored.
Not a big deal, but I was reminded of that this week in the News of the World. I don't know if anybody noticed this, but you know Alan Pardew?
You read the News of the World?
Yeah, I don't, actually. Alan Pardew got the bullet from Charlton.
Done. Oh, yeah.
5-2.
But if you read the News of the World, big headline, Kerbishley gets the boot. I mean, and that went to print. I mean, how far out of touch is that? Kerbishley, he's so ingrained as being Charlton, Alan Kerbishley. He said Kerbishley gets. I thought, strange, Kerbishley, what's this? And they were talking, and they meant Pardew.
Did they say Pardew in the article?
Yes, he mentioned Alan Pardew, but the headline said Kerbishley gets a boot, and it had gone through, it had gone to print.
I like that.
I thought that was quite funny.
Mm. Jonathan, it's worth mentioning that it's actually past 12:30.
I know. I think we need to wind up.
Yeah, okay. We do. And it's been a bit rambly, but we've had some good fun. We've sung.
I don't think you should apologise for it by saying it's been a bit rambly.
I think we were going to get on to Gallus and the captaincy and stripping, and that brings into the question of what is a captain. We'll do that next week. What is a captain?
I'd like to.
What is a captain of a football team for? Yeah. You know, in comparison to say a cricket team or rugby team, and how it works.
Very different.
Yes, definitely different. But we haven't got time for it now. So
no,
stay tuned. This is in true promotional sense. Yes. You know, so a reason to come back to us next week. I hope you all do, and I hope you also use the Soho3@gmx.com, and let's get some feedback discussions going, please, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, please, we'd like to respond to some topics that you bring up as well. Mm-hmm. We'd like to be able to
exactly. So
I've enjoyed it, despite Ian suggesting it's rambling. I felt it's been quite focused.
I've enjoyed it too.
We pushed along very well indeed.
I've enjoyed it too, and I'm sorry it's over for one more week, but it's farewell from me, Phil Freeman.
And it's farewell from me, Jonathan Kidd, and it's farewell from Ian Farnsworth.
Ta-ta, Ian, and ta-ta, listeners.
All right.